Welcome back to the No State Project. My name is Mark Stevens, the author of Adventures in Legal Land. This is the August 12th, 2006 edition of the show, and I still have, you can still take advantage of the special offer that we have for my book, Adventures in Legal Land. Also, for $45, we get the book, an MP3 of a seminar, and the criminal script that I sell for usually $50, about $130 value, $45. That ends tonight, so you definitely want to jump on that. I want to get right back into it. I want to welcome back my guest, Per Bielan of anarchism.net. Welcome back to the show, Per.
Thank you very much.
Why don't we take another call? What do you say?
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I appreciate Mark in Las Vegas from holding and being patient. Mark, welcome to the No State Project.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Great show. Great guest. I read your guest commentary. By the way, the first documented political act was when Cain murdered Abel, right? But I read your most recent commentary, Per, about the divide between the anarchists, which I am one of, and the minarchists. And you know
right.
who I think said this so saliently, Roy Childs, and I would encourage everybody to read Roy Childs' open letter to Ayn Rand. And, you know, he points out that as soon, you know, the idea of having a limited government is really, that's the floating abstraction, because, of course, Ayn Rand had tried to say that she tried to mix in limited government with freedom, and he pointing out that the second the state stops initiating force, it ceases to be the state, because that's its very nature, and he's absolutely right on. But I guess if there's one thing I could address, it's this, and I think maybe a lot of this has to do with those who do join the anarchist movement. The way people do, and you had kind of hinted about this earlier, Mark Stevens, but the way people do tend to conflate anarchy with licentious behavior and, you know, amorality and that sort of thing. Now I'm a Bible-thumping, you know, Baptist fundamentalist, independent Baptist fundamentalist, and I count myself as an anarchist. I'm totally anarchist. But it's, I mean, I could not describe anarchism as anything more opposite. I mean, it's like it's so opposite from the perception that people have. For me, when I started reading Murray Rothbard, that was my conversion. But I guess we start by defining freedom. I look at it like this. Every man has the right to absolute self-control, i.e. you own your own body. Absolutely 100%, and also absolute 100% unmitigated property rights. Now, to me, this would actually preclude the possibility for what we consider to be crimes. Take, for example, kidnapping, rape, murder. These all violate your right to self-ownership, your right to self-control. Robbery, theft, arson, fraud all violate property rights. And so far from, you know, being, in fact, look, I have one speeding ticket on my record as my only offense of any kind. You know, we're not these people who run around, you know, thinking that, or these people who run around, you know, saying, hey, all we want to do is do drugs. I mean, that's not what anarchy is about. Maybe somebody doesn't want to smoke pot. I don't have a problem with that. But I think a lot of people do join the anarchist movement because they do see it as an ideology of self-indulgence. Indulgence more than an ideology that reaffirms the rights of man. And then the other thing is you look at what anarchists stand for. I mean, this is the codification of basic human rights. You know, so many people don't really understand real human rights, and I think a lot of this has to do with the way people fragment the mandate of these hermetically sealed-off compartments. They talk about free speech, but you can't have free speech without property rights. You know, suppose the government taxed 100% of everything to do with newspapers, you're not going to have newspapers in business anymore.
And they can tax newspapers. Mark, I agree with you. I appreciate the call, but we got to go to a commercial. Please keep listening and call again. My name is Mark Stevens. We'll be right back with my guest, Per Bielan of anarchism.net. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a moment.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of Choice Garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
Welcome back. My name is Mark Stevens. This is the No State Project on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Glad to be back. My guest tonight, I appreciate the time he's given us for the second hour. Probably have him for another segment. Welcome back to the show, Per Byland of anarchism.net.
Thank you very much. I think the last caller had a pretty great idea of reading Roy Child's open letter to Ayn Rand. That's actually a very good text if you want to know what anarchism is about. And I think he asks a few questions to Ms. Rand as well about her philosophical system.
Well, I'm not familiar with it, but I like what he said about it so far, and I'll take his and your recommendation. And what I've mentioned on the show a number of times is Ayn Rand, what she failed to do was follow her own objective philosophy and examine the nature of government, because had she examined the nature of government, she would have seen that it was inconsistent with the free market.
Exactly. And I think she also fell for the power corrupts thesis. But she was very successful, maybe too early. I mean, she had this philosophical system, and she got a lot of lackeys and people worshipping her like a god almost, or a goddess perhaps. And that probably made her a little bit crazy. She got very dogmatic, and I think when she met Murray Rothbard and they were discussing anarchism versus objectivism, and he said that there could be justice on the market. I think her comment was, oh, you mean like civil war? And that tells you a little bit of how she was thinking then. And that tells you also that she didn't really realize what she was saying in her philosophy. For the proud human beings and their right to freedom, but right to freedom only so far. I mean, she set the limits for human beings' freedom. That means she was as bad as government.
Well, her thought process, like most people, was inconsistent. She had some great ideas. She wrote some great books. It was inconsistent. And she did, unfortunately, come at it from a statist point of view. Because she believed in limited government. She saw a lot of people rail against the abuses of government. Well, and a lot of people talk about it. I mean, Ronald Reagan, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. But did he believe it? Was he consistent?
Well, he was a politician.
But the mindset is what I'm getting. It's she held the same mindset. That you could limit something which in its nature is not will not subject itself to limitations.
Sure, but you can get over the mindset. I did. I mean, we're all raised statists, well, most of us.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I mean, I think Ayn Rand was successful too soon because she was a very smart lady. I mean, she developed a great philosophy and she identified every man's right to his body, his labor, his freedom. But I think because she got successful so soon, she didn't have the time to follow her principles, to follow her core ideas all the way through. Instead, she turned dogmatic and she became a leader for that movement. And that was kind of the end of it.
Well, that tends to be a problem because people, it, just like I mentioned on the show, I quoted Heaven on the Forum. I can't remember whose name it was, but it was in Carl Wattner's book. And it was leaders without followers wind up in mental hospitals. And it's this whole notion that people need leaders to begin with, which is so, you know, and that people should be followers. So I could see where the problem would come in where she, you know, and a lot of people can't resist it, where they become leaders of a movement, so to speak. What I want to ask, too, though, and I know this is, it may seem like a simple question, but for people who are still stuck in the mindset and that are listening, why don't you describe to us why status, and this is to get back to what we mentioned before, why status will always incorrectly define what anarchism is and always define it as, let's say, chaos and mayhem.
Well, I think one of the big problems they're doing is they're kind of focusing on the practical details. They're always asking for the system. When they're asking me about anarchism, they don't ask me, what are the values? Why are you an anarchist? They always ask me, how will you solve this? How will this work? Who will take care of this? And who will enforce this? And that's the problem. Because anarchism, to me, the greatest argument is the moral argument. I mean, it's about morality. It's about me having the right to freedom. And if you're taking my freedom away from me, you're stealing. That's immoral. That's the argument for anarchism, the moral one. It has nothing to do about how practical things are or how you're going to solve things. It has nothing to do with it. It comes later. And freedom, you can't really decide what freedom will be like because it is freedom. You can't tell how people will act if they are free. They will act according to their own judgments, according to their own values.
Right.
And that means... That means you can't control them and you cannot really foresee how they will act. They might act rationally, yes, but they will act rationally according to the information they have in every situation. So you cannot really know.
Right.
That's
one of the things that I Right. And that's one of the things that I've discussed on the show, and I use this, and I'm going to repeat it again for, because people may not have heard it. And it's the argument about not going and looking at government is that we know, you know, it's leeches. That we know leeches don't cure cancer. You know, you put a couple of leeches on your chest, it's not going to cure you of cancer. So we know that doesn't work. But just because we don't have the cure to cancer at this point doesn't mean we continue using what we know doesn't work. We don't keep putting leeches on your neck and whatnot. Okay? What I wanted to get to, and I appreciate that, what I was looking, it was why is it that when you see these talking heads like Rush Limbaugh and O'Hannity, O'Reilly, and these guys, and when or any kind of politician or a statist, why do they misdefine what anarchy is?
Well, I think part of it is it's fear. I think they fear what they do, what they cannot know about. I mean, they know nothing, as I just said. They don't know nothing about what that kind of society would be like. They can't control it. They can't foresee what will happen a month from now. They can't say what will happen 5 minutes from now. And that makes them scared. Maybe they are not enough of, well, maybe they can't trust themselves. Maybe they don't know how they will act. They don't know what will happen to them. So they want that kind of security.
Right, and you just brought it back because it's just like Jim said. If you want to know how it'll function, look in a mirror. And you see, you just hit on it. And that's a very good point. They know, and it's that fear. And it's that fear and distrust that is so common with politicians and bureaucrats. Because like Etienne Laboté wrote in Discourse on Voluntary Servitude, there is no love among conspirators, like politicians and bureaucrats. It's always suspicion and fear, because you could be the one next.
Right.
And so also, I think, obviously, if you discuss what anarchism is, and this is what I look at it, voluntarism, because they haven't polluted the word voluntarism yet, is that all human interactions should be voluntary. Period. End of story. Anybody who disagrees with that, we've got a special medical term for it. We call it antisocial personality. It doesn't mean unsocial, where you just don't want to socialize. Antisocial personality describes bureaucrats and politicians. These are aggressive individuals who don't give it, who just don't care about other people and need to control other people. They can't. It's like Ernie Hancock says, you got two different types of people. Those who want to be left alone and those who will not leave them alone.
Right.
And so it's when you discuss what anarchy is, it is the fear also, I believe, comes in because it is gutting their little system. It is a threat to them because everyone I know agrees that all human interactions should be voluntary. I mean, that's why you have a criminal code. That's why you have things called crimes, because what they're doing is they're making involuntary human interaction a crime. They're punishing you for it. So it's just that they're not consistent with it, of course.
You know, one of the problems here is if you ask people about voluntarism, people will always tell you that, yeah, everything people do should be voluntary, and everything everywhere should be voluntary. It's just that, yeah.
Did we lose Per?
To harm you.
Oh. Can you repeat that last part that you cut out for a moment?
Okay.
And everything should be voluntary, of course.
Yeah, everything should be voluntary. They usually agree with that, but they do not trust all the others. They don't trust other people. So they
right,
think,
you wrote an article about that.
Yes, I did. That's why people vote, and that's why people usually advocate a government, I think, because they do not know if all the other people are to be trusted. They can't know, and that's kind of the problem, because with freedom you can't know.
Right.
But it's the mirror again. If you can't trust the guy in the mirror, why should you not trust all the other guys in other mirrors?
Exactly. We'll be right back in just a few moments. My name is Mark Stevens. We'll be back in a few minutes with my guest, Per Bylund of Sweden. So, Paul, hold on the line. Be patient. We'll be right back.
headline news, activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The counsel to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
My name is Mark Stevens. This is the No Stay Project. That's actually Caffeine Carl of Key West. He's actually going to be endorsing Martin guitars now, so glad to hear that. Congratulations. And my name is Mark Stevens. This is the No Stay Project on the Republic Broadcast Network. And before I bring my guest back on, I just want to mention before I forget, obviously I forgot for the last hour and a half, looking to come back to Austin for a workshop. Probably going to be at the Holiday Inn again at the Austin Town Lake, which was a great room. I mean, right if you were there, it was a beautiful room, and right near you could see the river right next. September 30th workshop. Those interested, contact me, Mark Stevens at adventuresinlegalland.com for more details, and I'll be posting details as they come in. Yeah, I want to bring my guest back on. Oh, and I just want to say, Paul, just be patient. We're going to bring you up after the in the next segment. So please just hold on, be patient. We'll get to you. We'll have plenty of time. I want to bring my guest back up. He's Per Bylund of Sweden, founder of anarchism.net, regular contributor to lourockwell.com and Strike the Root. Appreciate the time that he's given us tonight to be on the show. So welcome back to the show, Per.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm getting a bit tired here. It's 2:30 in the morning. But I feel I need to add something to our discussion before the commercial. We were talking about trust and distrust and the guy in the mirror. And I think
right. It
has to do with perspective. I mean, statists, they always see society from above. I don't know why they're doing that, but they're always doing that. And when they say, well, sure, I can take care of myself, but I don't trust others, well, that has got nothing to do with it. Because take care of yourself, take care of your own freedom, take care of your own responsibility, and let all the others do the same. That's what it's all about. It's as simple as that. Take care of yourself. You are only one person. You are you. And all the others, they are themselves. There is no such thing as society. It's just an abstraction.
Well, and you're right. There are only individual men and women and children. And that's the way it is. And, you know, you can get into all sorts of, you know, psychological statements or phrases like transference or projection, actually, where people, they don't trust themselves. They may say they trust themselves, and so they project that distrust on others. They see themselves as someone who's not trustworthy, and so everyone else must be. So I think, you know, you're right. That's why I love how when Jim Davies says, just look in the mirror. Just look at and that's why I've said a number of times on the show, if the first thing we do towards moving towards a voluntary society is to work on ourselves and cure, you know, rid ourselves of an addiction to aggression, which is what you're talking about. That, well, I can't trust you, so something must be done for you.
Exactly, and you can't really say what should be done for me. It's my right to decide for me, and it's your right to decide for you. And every time you cross that line, you're a tyrant. You're stealing freedom away from me. You have no right to do that.
Right, and what people don't realize, what we mentioned before, if I take freedom away from somebody else, I'm taking it away from myself.
Exactly. That's another good point.
Because freedom is an absence of restraint, not just on me, but on you. And that's what people don't understand. So we go back full, you know, and I know we only have a few minutes before you have to go. It's freedom is, you know, it's something that's for, you know, it's either all or nothing.
Exactly, and then we're back to our previous discussion about limited freedom, so-called. There is no such thing. You can't have limited freedom of speech. Because then that means that someone is telling you what you cannot say. Someone is telling you you can do this, and also means they're actually saying you cannot do that thing.
Exactly. That's why I tell one of the things I'm big on is, let's say, the First or Second Amendment, so-called. I said, look, the First Amendment is irrelevant. The only question that's relevant when it comes to speech is this. Are you justified in initiating physical force against me for something I say? And either way you answer that question, the First Amendment is absolutely irrelevant. It's the same thing with the Second Amendment. One of the things I ask at seminars, when are you justified in using aggression or initiating physical force against me to take a gun away from me? And everyone always says, well, if you're pointing it at me, well, that's not then I'm initiating the aggression, not you. And either way, the Second Amendment is absolutely irrelevant. It's the aggression that's the question.
Right, that's absolutely true.
It's this whole thing. It's a culture of aggression. Anyway, I really appreciate you being on the show. In the few seconds we have left, why don't you give out your contact information?
Sure. My personal website, I think you're going to find it's interesting there. I have an essay about the welfare state of Sweden and how it destroyed morality in all Swedish, all of the Swedes.
And
I think
perbyland.com?
Yes, exactly. That's perbyland.com.
Great. Well, Per, I appreciate you being on the show.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth. It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
KU Band Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellite is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU Dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling. And begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information. Or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
Welcome back. My name is Mark Stevens. This is the No Safe Project, the only show on the air dedicated to bringing about a voluntary society. I want to thank Per Byland of anarchism.net and perbyland.com. That's perbyland.com. Appreciate yes, you're right, Paul. It is perbyland. Perbyland.com. Appreciate the time he gave us tonight. It is, I think, he says 2:30 in the morning there in Sweden. Looking forward to having him on again in the future. Want to get back to the callers. I've got my friend Paul on the line from Los Angeles. Paul, welcome to the No Stay Project.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, it's good to talk to you, Paul.
It's great to talk to you. And this man is you know, one of the few who will reach the masses, because I think he's speaking the truth, and I think he's getting to the heart of things. I'm listening to Mr. Molyneux, Stefan Molyneux, and I think Per had it right there when he says we need to argue from morality. One of the things I'm realizing is that in order to discuss things with people, the first thing you need to do is to get from them the agreement of what would it take to change their minds. In other words, there's two kinds of people in the world. There's people that get their information from experience, logic, and reason, and then there are those that get their information on faith. And most people are operating on faith that the government is necessary, on faith that we can't live without it, on faith that we just have to pay our taxes and there's nothing we can change. It's all based on faith. And when you talk to these people, they have no way of changing their minds. And all they do is start shifting on you. They start, going into all kinds of crazy arguments, and then they get upset and mad at you, all because they can't think. The only way you can think on a subject is if you've come to your positions and your opinions rationally and logically and can go back, in a sense, and look at the source code of your decision. Most people don't have the source code to their opinions. They just have it all precompiled in a nice little package. And if you start challenging and picking it apart and asking, well, why do you hold this opinion? They don't know. So I'm finding that, you can save yourself a lot of time and you just go right to the beginning and say, okay, you hold that opinion, fine. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to ask you, what would it take to change your mind? In other words, in any scientific discussion, whenever somebody puts forth a proposition or a theory, they have to say, well, here's what would disprove my theory. If you could show X or Y, this would disprove my theory, and I will abandon it and go in another direction. But most people can't do that, because the only thing they've got is their faith in the government, their faith in their own opinions, which they've never really thought through.
Agree with you, Paul, and that's a much gentler way of bringing about a change in a thought process, as opposed to looking to confuse somebody or bring on cognitive dissonance. I mean, that's why I ask, well, should a service or product be provided at the barrel of a gun, or should all human interaction be voluntary? People are always going to agree with that, and there's only a very limited circumstances where I've ever had someone say no. Okay, and I'm someone who's a psychopath. I understand that. I've had several callers to the show. Well, at least one caller to the show has said that services or products should be provided at the barrel of a gun. You're going to definitely want to tune in, and it's tentatively set. We should be doing another, like an NLP, hypnotherapy, communication-type roundtable next week. We'll have Joe Thomas from England back with Alistair Kinnear from Canada. And we're going to be talking about that. And I'm glad you brought that up, Paul, because you're right. It's very important, and it's a lot gentler to bring somebody about. And that is probably a more effective way with certain people.
Yeah, that's the point. Is you got to tailor the argument to the person. Some people are ready to just dive in. They already see there's a problem. They already realize that the system is in fatal error. But they just don't know where to get a handle on it. And we come in and say, well, why don't you look in this particular direction? And they'll go, oh, great, I never thought of that before. But there are many others who need a lot more steps to get there. Let me just bring up a couple of other things, just because I got an email from Tessa Rose, who is Larkin Rose's wife.
Right.
Very tear-jerking email about how she's going to have to go to prison for 30 days. I'm looking for someone who can write a writ of habeas corpus to get Larkin and now Tessa out of jail by showing that the government has no standing to bring any cause of action against these people and to throw out their convictions. And the last thing is I'd like to mention that I still have willing to put that $5,000 on the line to anybody who can prove there's a state or that any of these actions are legitimate and genuine. Did I just say anything?
No, and that it's a standing offer, and anybody else who wants to contribute to that, they're more than welcome. Where you can contact me off air, and we could put that together. I just spoke to someone, and I can't use the clip on the air because he did not want to come on the show, and he specifically did. I mean, he just didn't want to be. He didn't want to be in use for the show, and he was a city councilman. And I asked him point blank, "Do you know the only stated purpose for the creation of the Washington government?" And he said, "Well, no, but I'm sure that you're going to tell me." And he was pretty jovial about it. So here, you've got people out there doing these things. They have no understanding whatsoever. He says, "Well, I think that most of what we do, or probably all of what we do, I'm pretty confident that it's consistent with why the government was created. But how can you possibly say that when you don't even know why it was created?" It's like, I have no idea how to perform brain surgery, Paul, but I'm pretty sure that when I start cutting you open, that it'll be, you know, it'll be consistent.
Yeah, it's that cognitive dissonance thing you just brought up. Yeah, it's like people have no concept of what they're actually saying. And we just need to keep, you know, reaching the people we can reach and finding creative ways to reach more people who we haven't reached before and get to that point where, you know, you'll get a critical mass of people who will finally start pushing the thing over. I want to, there's something you talked about earlier, because you use this a lot, is this idea that, well, leeches don't cure cancer, so we shouldn't use leeches even though we don't know how to cure cancer. Now, I'll challenge this idea that we don't know how to cure cancer, because the voluntary society is the cure to the cancer. And Mr. Molyneux, as you're aware, has put together quite a large body of work on what the voluntary society would look like as far as dispute resolution organizations, how you'd handle all the major factors that people cling to government to get. He's answered all those questions, you know, so... The other thing is, there's a book called The Voluntary City, which a friend of mine talked about. He gave me an email link to. There's a group called the Independent Institute, and www.independent.org, which is a book. It's a collection of essays from a variety of people showing how a voluntary society would work infrastructure-wise. I mean, it goes into tremendous amounts of detail. So the cancer cures are out there. You know, so you don't have to say, well, we don't know how to cure cancer, but leeches aren't the way to do it. We can say, not only aren't leeches the way to do it, here is the way to do it. You know, there's a lot of people who've done work on this. So we don't have to claim ignorance of how it's going to look like when we get rid of the state. We have a very clear blueprints from a variety of different sources of exactly what we can do. And obviously, as we get closer to there, we can fine-tune those ideas and fine-tune that picture. But, you know, there's quite a lot of work been done on this already. So I would, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I use that analogy because I want to demonstrate that under no circumstances is government the solution.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter if it's less. I'm not saying that, if someone, well, how would you like the same level of government that was around in 1776? I take that in a heartbeat, and that's a really good way to start. Now it's even easier to dismantle it.
Yeah.
So it's not like I don't want it smaller. I want to keep shrinking it till it's not there. It's just it's to cut off any kind and to demonstrate that government doesn't work. Period. To clear someone, and we're talking to a statist, you know, and say, let's get out of your mind that this is a solution at all.
Yes.
Period, because now you're...
It is,
because
it is cancer, and you cannot... I mean,
right.
One of the things I talk to people about, okay, well, let's assume you lived in the 19th century. How would you reform slavery? And let them think about that for a second. You know,
that's,
you couldn't reform
that's
slavery.
Analogy.
Well,
that's
of course you can't reform. You can't reform government either. It's the same problem.
Yes, it's the same thing. Same structure.
There was
the same structure.
Yeah. A friend of mine by the name of, well, I guess I'll mention his name because I like him. His name is John Longenecker. He has a website talking about Second Amendment right to self-defense issues. He had some postings on a board, and he just threw in a phrase there, you know, because he was talking about all these people who think the income tax, you know, who think they can fight the income tax and other, you know. He used some pejorative term about people who thought the income tax was you know elite fraudulent or whatever. So I it was just raw meat. I just had to post something. I said, well, look, John, I go with you on this self defense thing, you know, because obviously, you know, if you can't defend yourself, then you have no rights at all. I'm with you on that 100%. But you know, when you start denigrating the tax honesty movement. The tax is provably fraudulent and theft. How can you stand up for that if you're going to be into self-defense? So he wrote me this really, really note back trying to rebut all of my statements. And of course I wrote him a letter back just ripping to shreds everything he had to say. I mean, I like the guy. I mean, he's got some great ideas, but you know, he's one of the people that needs to, you know, to get a hold of that cognitive dissonance in their minds and go, holy crap. I mean, it's taken
people,
me...
Yeah.
I've been into this stuff for 30 years. It's just in the last year that I finally realized. It was thanks to you and thanks to guys like Stefan that go, wait a second, anarchy, it ain't so bad.
It's voluntarism. All it is voluntarism. That's all it is. And all human interaction is voluntary. That's all it is. Well, Paul, it's always good when you call. I appreciate it. I do got to get to some other callers.
You keep up the great work, Mark.
Well, hey, thank you. I appreciate that. And contact me off air. Shoot me an email if we've got anybody who's picked up the ball to do a habeas corpus for the roses.
I'd like to get a copy of that DVD, by the way. I'll send you a copy of the one I've got. We can exchange. Anyway, I'll catch you later, but keep up the great work.
Okay, thanks a lot, Paul. I appreciate it. Want to move on to the next call. We have Jeff in New Mexico. Jeff, you've been holding for a while. I appreciate your patience. Welcome to the No Stay Project.
Yes, sir. I know you're a music fan, at least jazz guitar, it sounds like. Have you ever heard of John Prine?
I have not.
Anyway, he's like a country folk singer, and he's got a song, Sweet Revenge Will Prevail Without Fail. And I think that's what my feeling is about calling the government out to help me solve my problems is if I have a problem with a neighbor is if I'm hurt, I want them to be hurt back, sort of, you know. So, and if they've got gun, like here, let's say I call out the animal control to come out and confront a neighbor that's torturing dogs that bark and whine, and this severely annoys me when I'm trying to sit outside instead of have to be inside with the air conditioner. I want to be outside sitting, you know, in the shade. And if my neighbors have guns, it makes it harder for those animal control government workers to come up to them and take the dogs away after repeat offenses. So, in other words, if the citizens have guns, how can we call loner people like me? Who can we turn to come out to help us in a voluntary society?
Well, in a voluntary society? Well, let's look at that for a second. In a voluntary society, it's accepted that the use of aggression or aggression is wrong. So there's no agency to call that imposes itself on all the neighbors against their will. And so what I'm going to do, instead of trying to come up with a solution, what we would do in a voluntary society, I'm going to put it back on you to come up with a creative solution, because it doesn't do any good for me to try to solve every problem you may have. That's the reason why a lot of people are in trouble. People said to me, why don't you just become an attorney so that you can give me advice and I'll know what to do? I said, well, I'm not going to do that, because even if I was an attorney, I wouldn't tell you what to do, because that's how people get in trouble. I'm making the choice for you. And that and most people make uninformed choices. They're doing things because someone else told them, and they're not thinking it out. I know how many people have come to me for help because they followed some tax guru, and, you know, for not filing returns or this, that, zero, whatever. And then they come to me to help, why did you follow that? My point is, why don't you take the initiative and be creative and come up with a nonviolent solution to a problem such as that?
Well, I thought of that. I thought about going to those people with the animal control with me, and maybe they speak Spanish, so first of all, I needed an interpreter.
Wait, Jeff, just real quick, what you're asking me, you're mixing two different things. The question you asked me was, how would the problem be solved or dealt with or resolved in a voluntary society? So that's why, keep it in that context. What would be be creative, and what is a nonviolent solution to that particular problem? And so it doesn't include going to animal control.
Yeah, I suppose I'd have to find other neighbors that speak Spanish and English, and then describe to them my problem, and for them to relay the message to these people how I feel about that. I feel that their dogs are being tortured, the dogs are whining and annoying me, and I shouldn't have to go inside and hide and turn on noisy air conditioner fan to drown out that noise. That infringes on my outdoor rights.
And let me just put this forward. One solution that I would put forth, a creative, non-violent solution to something like that, is ostracize the neighborhood. If your neighbors all agree that this really should stop, they don't have to do business with him anymore. And this works very well. And again, I'm going to keep plugging because it's such a great website, voluntarius.com. Carl Wattner does it. The Mennonites and the Amish, they don't use courts, and they resolve their problems nonviolently. And ostracizing is one of the ways to do it. Appreciate the call, Jeff. Please keep listening. Call again. My name is Mark Stevens. This is the No State Project. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with the last segment. Don't go anywhere.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Yeah, we're back. Unbelievable. We're already done with 2 hours. It just goes way too fast. My name is Mark Stevens. We're back here on the No State Project. We've got a couple minutes left of the show. Just want to thank Paul for all the work he does behind the scenes there at the studio in Austin. I appreciate everything he does there. I want to thank also JT, Silent Sponsor. Appreciate all he's done. Hey, and of course, I finally got to see, thanks to JT, I finally got to see V for Vendetta, and awesome, awesome movie. That's going to be one used DVD. I want to also thank my buddy Steve at KeepYourAssets.net. To find out how you can achieve bulletproof asset protection and maximum privacy, visit KeepYourAssets.net. And when you visit the site, you got to sign up for the free asset protection crash course. Visit KeepYourAssets.net today. Of course, let them know that Mark Stevens, you heard on the No State Project with me, Mark Stevens. Also, for all your gold and silver needs, you got to get in touch with the Republic Trading Group. It's 800-691-7898, 800-691-7898. I don't need to tell this audience that Federal Reserve is not where you want the bulk of your assets, you know, your cash. There's definitely a crash coming, and gold and silver is always going to be tradable. It's 800-691-7898. Also, last day for the special offer, get my book, Adventures in Legal Land, an MP3 download of a seminar and the criminal script, about $130 value for only $45. So go to adventureslegalland.com today and order that. Also, don't have everything set in stone yet, but I would tentative date and location for a workshop. I'm going to be doing a workshop, basically working with the three scripts that I sell, the criminal, civil, and tax, on September 30th in Austin, Texas. Love Austin. Definitely want to get back there. It's been too long, almost a year now. It was back in November. So I'm looking to do that at the Holiday Inn again, right there at the Austin Town Lake. I had a wonderful room last time. I had a great time. So what we'll be doing is basically going through a lot of just courtroom stuff. You know, we're going to workshop the three scripts. So that should be a lot of fun. So you can email me for more information, and I will post that as it comes in. But it should be September 30th at the Holiday Inn at the Austin Town Lake. Also want to thank, of course, my guest tonight, Per Bylin. I really appreciate him taking the time to do that. I'm also going to be having, maybe next week, I'll let everybody know the details. We're going to have Alistair Kinnear and Joe Thomas from England again. Both are NLP practitioners and are hypnotherapists. We're going to be talking about human communication, mind control, propaganda, all that good stuff. We're going to be doing that. Also looking to have Stefan Molyneux on together with Jim Davies. Should be a great show. Hoping to do that in 2 weeks. So you definitely are not going to want to miss that. It'll be some great discussions. A lot of really good information about voluntary society, how we can get to a voluntary society, and why government, of course, is not the answer. Why government is anti-freedom, which I've said a number of times. Freedom is an absence of restraint. And that's what government does. Government restrains. There can be no freedom when there's government. Of course, listeners to the show, we already know that. Freedom is 100% control of your life and property, 100% of the time, 0% control over somebody else's life and property. And that's what government does. Government is just a group of men and women. And what do? They control, restrain, spy, torture, lie, deceit. That's what they do. Can't change nature. Good night. My name is Mark Stevens. This has been the No State Project. We'll talk to you next week.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.